anybody can talk about wine. But what you're about to experience is a grape encounter.
On today's show, it's an unforgettably delightful, insightful, and often comical conversation with one of the most renowned names in French and now American winemaking.
It's time to experience wine in a totally different way with your host, David Wilson.
Not so very long ago, we did an interview with a fellow by the name of Patrick Egan. He is out at a winery in the Napa Valley that is doing some things that you just can't possibly imagine. I mean, everybody knows the wines. The winery is called Raymond. And Raymond is a winery that's been very well known for many, many years. But it was taken over about 3 years ago by Jean-Charles Boisset.
David, your pronunciation
was that perfect?
Exceptional.
That was perfect, wasn't
it? Your French class is away coming back.
Do you know what? I got
it?
Kicked out of French class.
Well, you were too charming. You were being too French and charming the teacher, and she was on her knees
actually,
for you.
She was a he, and I got kicked out because when he was assigning our French names, he said, "Your name shall be Paul." And I said, "Why should it be Paul? My name is David." And he says, "Well, because we already have a David in the class." And I said, well, that happens all the time, that there's more than one person with a name. And he goes, "In my class, we only have one person per name." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to be called Paul because I don't like that name." And he kicked me out, and that's it. So I didn't make it one day in French
class.
You
definitely have a French attitude.
So
I love it.
Yeah, I didn't get the lesson, but I got the attitude.
That's right.
I ended up taking Latin instead.
Well, that which comes close in, to French.
That comes
really
in real handy, doesn't it? We are sitting in the red room with Jean-Charles. How's that French, by the way?
That was even better. Even better than the first time.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, you cannot see Paul's face. Oh, sorry, David's face. he has lips glowing when he says that, and his teeth are perfectly Hollywood aligned, so this is very charming. He says, "Jean-Charles, this is gorgeous."
I need a little beret or something when
yes,
I do this.
Yes, well, I'll
though.
Give you a little glass of Generation 05.
This is a fantastic
wine,
by the way.
This is much better than lipstick, too.
Okay, so tell us about the Red Room, first of all, because this is the... I was going to say this is the first, it does have a sort of a brothel sort of look to it, but in a good sort of way. I'm not getting
well,
out of
the only difference in a brothel is you have to pay. Here, it's not that expensive either.
It's
so
not.
That's the beauty of it. Well, what we wanted to create is really do a reverse emotion and create a room around the wine you're actually tasting. So Generations is a wine which is velvety, which is an amazing leather base, which is kind of animal in its feel, very shiny, and crystal clear Cabernet. So all those elements are taken into this room. This is why it's all red and animal prints.
Mm.
And this room has the texture of the wine. You could, David, actually pull your tongue and leak the curtains. And as you leak the curtains, you're going to feel the texture.
Are you saying I could lick the curtains?
Lick the curtains.
How many people come into this room and lick the curtains?
Well, depending on which area, I'll show you an area which has never been licked before. So you'll be the first.
All right. So this is a room that's so tactile that you can crawl across the floor, which has animal prints, right?
Yes.
There's fur everywhere. You can lick the curtains. This is a bit like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, thank you for saying that, and I take that as a compliment because many people told that to me, and finally, 2 months ago, I encountered the movie and watched it.
Oh, you actually watched it.
I loved it. And it's very true that wine, like chocolate for children, is a discovery of a dream for adults or adolescents. So what we wanted to create at Raymond and in the Red Room is a experience full of emotion. People really who come here in every single room, including the Red Room, feel something different, and through their feelings, learn more about themselves, experience something more about their emotions, and the psychology about how they think, and as well learn fundamentally about wine.
Well, this is complex.
Yes.
So you come here not just to learn about wine, but you come here to learn about yourself.
I really believe it's so important.
Wine is the catalyst for that adventure.
Indeed, and we were discussing just before the show, and you told me about that you learn more even about yourselves the more you tasted wines. And we're talking about the psychology of wine and the emotions of wine and the mood of wine and what you drink in certain moods.
I failed to mention to the listeners, this is going to be a 38-hour show. as we crawl through these different topics. All right.
We basically, ladies and gentlemen, drinking in Chateau Baccarat crystal glasses. The sound you just heard.
Oh, I so would not have clinked that hard.
Is the vibration of the crystal. And through the vibration of the crystal, your tongue is entangled with the pleasure of the wines. And I could feel in my lips the crystal caressing and really giving me birth to new emotions.
I'm having a difficult time getting the velour from the curtain off of my tongue, though, right now.
Well, that's because your hand is in the animal print.
All right, so let's back up just a little bit then. We're in the Red Room, and the Red Room is an absolutely extraordinarily beautiful room that I think once you're in here, you don't ever really want to leave. And in fact, I'm not going to. It is absolutely dripping with luxury. It's epitome of decadence, down to the videos of the Moulin Rouge on the big screen TV, right?
And I'm thrilled that, David, because you knew, of course, the Moulin Rouge.
I've been to the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, you've been there. I just came back from Paris like a month ago and attended the 11 p.m. session, which is unbelievable and excessive. And I thought, we got to play the Moulin Rouge on our TV here in the Red Room. And this fits so well. Look at this. Isn't it amazing?
As a matter of fact, after I went to the Moulin Rouge for a month, all I wanted to do was be topless and wear a big feather hat.
Well,
because it does affect you that way.
You're welcome to take your shirt off.
No. Let's talk about the various rooms you have here. And which of the rooms, he's pouring me more wine. Great.
Well, you know.
The Red Room, was that the first creation here or the last? I know it wasn't in the middle.
Well, we started really with the Crystal Cellar.
Yes.
That was the first. And I can describe that to you if you wish and how we started this and why. The Red Room was the ultimate.
That was
the last one.
I knew it had to be, yeah.
Yeah, we finished the Red Room in October last year, and we really wanted to create the ultimate experience for Generation and that wine. And we wanted as well, David, to create what you and I have dreamt for a long time, is a private club atmosphere where our guests could have the ultimate experience, do other things than just wine, read books, watch Moulin Rouge or other shows they wish here, play games from chess to poker to dominoes, have great wines, have a little appetizer, and really be in a club environment in a winery.
But not just in a winery, in wine country too.
In wine country, because so many times you go to a winery and they tell you, great, you've tasted my wines, how many cases do you want? Are you joining the club? Thank you, bye. What you want is people to come enjoy your winery, stay in the winery. We want our guests to stay and never to leave because we want them to be part of our family and we want them to be part of the experience.
You make a very good point because when people do join wine clubs, which I'm not a big fan of wine clubs, mostly because after about the sixth bottle of wine, you start getting the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, that's right.
But a wine club should be just that, a club where there's a common bond that goes beyond I've made a special purchase of wines.
And that's what...
And this is a club.
That's right. And that's what this place allows us to do, is to create amazing moments. We just had Midnight in Paris, fun party of the 1920s and 30s. We had 60 guests, you know, who are club members of the Red Room. And it's easy to join the Red Room. You pay $500 or $1,000. You could bring 4 or 7 guests. And you have access to all the events we do. And we regularly do amazing events, so costume parties typically. And we're doing another one coming soon in October, which is Interview with the Vampire.
Interview with a Vampire.
So look at the red. We're all going to be in red and black, and it's going to be really fun.
I could come and do interviews with a vampire.
Would be great.
Perhaps. That would be great, yes.
You'll be our guest, of course.
Would I have to dress like a vampire?
Or as the target of the vampire. If you're sexy enough, I will put my teeth in your neck.
Well,
most likely it won't happen with you, David. Although you are. If I would be a female vampire, maybe. But
will you have female vampires here?
Yes, we will.
In that case, I'll come as a victim of the vampire.
That's right. It would be great.
All right. Save the meal for them. You have events like that. And
we have all kinds of events. We have book signings. We have artists come in and they want not necessarily to be in front of 200, 300, 400 people, but more specifically a very small group, unique individuals who are part of our club. And therefore, we give them access to that. So we have talks and book signings and all of those things which happen here in the Red Room. As you can see, it's cozy. It's intimate. It's around 50 to 60 people, and people love the fact that it's cozy
and lots
and
of
small.
Things to explore in here. You're a knickknack collector.
Totally.
You wander into little, I would say, curio shops, secondhand stores,
absolutely,
antique stores,
yes,
and something tickles your fancy. And you buy it, and then you wander around this room looking for exactly the place to set it down. Or perhaps, if I've got you right, you walk into those places and go, you know, there's that one spot in the Red Room that's missing something.
That's it.
Is that how it goes?
You have such an eye for it. Indeed, and our latest winery, Buena Vista, which we need to invite you at.
That's not exactly a latest winery. That's like the first winery.
Indeed. First California winery. You'll see we are knick-knacking, as you said, in a lot of different antique places to find really memorabilia from the 1850s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
What a great idea.
And we love it because, you know, a winery is a place which is yours. It needs to feel, make you feel comfortable, and you need to feel comfortable and be transported. Going to a winery should be a voyage, should be a journey to another dimension, whether it's the past, the future, whether it's modernity or antiquity or today's time.
That, by the way, is the very next thing that I wanted to talk about, how it is a journey. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. We are sitting in the Red Room. We would actually move this party to one of the other rooms, but I don't really feel like leaving here ever.
It's hard. It's so comfy, isn't it?
So we're visiting with the owner of Raymond Vineyards. It's John Charles Boisset. And we'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. That would be me, the one without the French accent.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes grown in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleid's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
And Grape Encounters continues from the Red Room at Raymond. Say that 10 times fast. Red Room at Raymond.
La Chambre Rouge.
Do people come in here and go, Red Room, Red Room? You know, from what was that movie? The Shining. That's exactly right. But anyway, I am here with Jean-Charles Boisset. He is the owner of Raymond, half of the known world. Actually, you're the biggest wine owner in France, are you not?
Well, the biggest, I don't know, but we hope.
You'd like to be.
We are the one having the most amount of fun. That I can guarantee.
Well, that would make you the biggest then.
Well,
that would,
in terms of fun and excitement and passion and energy, thanks to you as well, David. We are certainly having a blast in the wine world. And you know what is exciting is to have wineries in different regions. So that you can oscillate from wine styles and wine types and textures and feelings.
Oscillate.
Oscillates.
Wow.
Just like the flame in front of you.
Talk to me about what it's like to be a Frenchman who, you know, here in America, we
well, it's like having it's like having a very heavy French accent. You know, Frenchmen typically speaks like this.
You know what? I give up. It's not my show anymore. You've made it your show, which is good. You know, that's what you need to do. But now the French are typically considered here in America as being a bit more pretentious when it comes to wine. You're the least pretentious guy I've ever met in my entire life. You are a wine clown, actually.
Well, I like that new denomination. Well, you're very kind to say that wine is a product of civilization and culture, and we should have fun with wine. It's an elixir of God, which we should respect, of course, and at the same time have fun with. So wine is all about the emotion, the experience, and what we build around it, like you do on your show. Why are we having fun today? Because you are having fun.
I feel like when I come here to this property, that I want to slip into my pajamas before I get any further. You're kind of the Hugh Hefner of wine.
Well, what would love to suggest is...
But a lot younger and better looking, by the way.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not surrounded the same way yet, really. Okay. But what we'd love to do is to give you a robe so that you could showcase the beautiful masculinity of your chest.
All right. This may be going a bit too far. Would it be a red robe to go with this particular room, or would you serve up robes the way that you serve up wine? In other words, the robe would complement your personality.
Well, I would give you a robe. You know why? Because the wine we're trying right now, this is Generation 05,
yeah,
has masculinity, has, you know, that huge, enormous grandeur and eloquence, which is very powerful. It's a thick-skinned wine, and it has that hairy chest character. Hence the robe.
Okay, tell me what celebrity or political figure or historic figure this wine most reminds you of.
This wine reminds me the most of Eisenhower.
Really?
And this wine could remind me of actually not a political figure, a man who created the most amazing things for Europe, which is called Marshall, which derived into the Marshall Plan, because this wine makes me want to march to create amazing things. This wine, Generation from Raymond 2005, awakened me the willingness to go beyond. And without the Marshall Plan, as an American figure, as you know, Europe would never be where it is today. So you say politics, I could think about the war. I could think about really the reawakening post-war of the rebuilding of the nation. The last political figure I may think about is a Hollywood figure who became an amazing American president, I assume. For me, he was the grandeur of America with a beautiful smile was Ronald Reagan. So I could see this wine.
That's a good choice. That's a good choice.
And the last guy I would pick is obviously Bill Clinton as well, who has a very charming smile as well. So I would not be politically partisan. I would pick a figure of each parties who could really enjoy this wine and make even a better speech.
Would you like to know my choice?
I would die for your choice.
Really, I just have one. And it may seem a bit inappropriate because it isn't a good match with Bordeaux, but because it's Italian instead. But in terms of the wine, I think this is going to work.
I love the choice.
That sounds like Leonardo for a lot of reasons, okay? Leonardo was a painter, he was a sculptor, he was an inventor, he was a thinker. So he had a lot of texture. This wine has a lot of texture,
yeah.
Okay? He also was, I think, one of the most daring thinkers of all time. This wine is very daring.
Mm-hmm.
He did very bold things, and there were no limits to his imagination. This is a very bold wine with no limitations whatsoever.
You're this. Description is way beyond mine. I'm putting a knee down, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm bowing in front of my master. My
now,
new descriptive will be Leonardo da Vinci.
Do you like that?
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it is a Bordeaux blend, so we can't really equate it to Italian wines. I still think that at least from a spiritual and intellectual structural standpoint.
Well, and Leonardo da Vinci, as you know, influenced greatly France.
Well, there is a good point. There's a good point. Okay.
So you have
We're
it
off
all.
The hook then on
no,
that one.
No, you are great. That's my new quote.
Plus, the wine is generations, and there are a few people that, like Leonardo, have inspired generations one after another after another after another after another. And, you know, he's as important and relevant today as he was when he was a young man.
And you say, David, something so important. Raymond is a fifth generation winery. Five generation in California winemaking in the heart of Napa Valley. And this is really what we want to showcase here at Raymond Vineyards in Rutherford, is the fact that wine in California has been made for a long time. And wine in California is here to remain. And the quality of California wine is fantastic. And this wine exemplifies, portrays, and is the witness of five centuries, of many centuries of amazing people crafting, sculpting brilliant wine here in
Napa.
Okay,
so when we return, I want to know why a Frenchman comes to California to continue the lineage of a very famous and respectable winery like Raymond. This is Grape Encounters Radio, and I'm coming to you from the Red Room at the Raymond Winery with Jean-Charles Boisset. And we'll return in a moment on Grape Encounters Radio.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com.
I'm praying for rain in California so that grapes can grow and they can make more wine.
Oh my gosh, this is the interview that I don't want to ever end. You know, usually I'm sitting in the studio. Lots of times I go out on location to various places. A lot of the interviews that we do are by telephone. Today, it's the Raymond Vineyards. We're in the Red Room. We've been in all kinds of other rooms as well. I don't know if I'm allowed to use this metaphor, but it's Disneyland for wine lovers. But better, because everything's an e-ticket. And if you understand what I'm saying when I say e-ticket, well, then you've arrived. And if you don't, well, you're just too young to be drinking what we're drinking. Anyway, simple as that. Jean-Charles Boisset is the owner here, and you're the transformer here, but you also decided to take over a winery that has operated for generations. You're continuing those generations. You're like an adopted member of the Raymond family, right?
I hope so. I want to be adopted. And I feel so much of what the Raymonds have wanted to do all those years, and it's very exciting to continue their dreams and to be part of families. The beauty, you know, when you have a collection of wineries, is you could be part of many families and you could really be the adopted child, the adopted brother, the adopted what have you cousins, and help bring it to the next evolution century. And what we really wanted to do at Raymond is as well highly respect what the family had done.
So a lot of people will take over a winery and they'll go, well, they've got good grapes and they've got a good operation. We can make this our own. But you've just built on their foundation.
That's right. Well, we thought the Raymond had built a legacy in Napa Valley. The Raymond is, for me, the American classic. When you think about Raymond, I think of Cadillac. I think about an old family, which is a world trademark name, Levi Strauss. I think of Tiffany. I think about those great American brands who've survived cataclysm, earthquakes, and wars, and are still around. And they've been farmers here in Napa Valley, created phenomenal vineyards in Rutherford, Oakville, Santa Elena, etc., and have made great wines. So we're here to continue their dreams, and obviously to bring experiences so many people can live, learn, experience, have fun with
that. That is well put. It seems like you have maybe integrated yet another American icon into the whole scheme of things here.
Who would that be?
Lady Gaga.
Oh! Bonjour, Lady Gaga, 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 Gaga.
Am I wrong about that? There is a certain Lady Gaga feel to some of what I've seen here today.
She's welcome anytime. We love her voice.
Do you know her?
Well, I had the pleasure to be encountered from a little distance, however, when she came to Northern California. The concerts were fantastic. Her inspiration is contagious. That's the beauty with wine, is as Lady Gaga does for people all around, grapes for me inspires me. I see those grapes on the sorting table. I see grapes in an open top wooden tanks. I touch them. I caress her, because the grape is a woman. Never forget that. Like earth, beautiful things in French are always feminine.
And you would never name a grape Bill, would you?
David, after this interview. David would be, could
David,
be a nice
David
grape.
David hyphen Paul.
Paul. Here, oh, yeah. Yes. Well, you know, luckily, as you learn Latin, as you silently disclosed to me earlier, every feminine beings on the planet is often, when they're beautiful, female, strangely enough.
Yes.
In the French language as well. So I call a grape une grappe, un raisin, but une grappe. Grappe includes the
stalk. Raisin is a raisin?
A raisin is
a
masculine.
Little shriveled up.
That's right.
Guy.
Whenever it looks like wrinkly and ugly, that's a man. But when it's round and beautiful with curves, it's a woman.
Let's go back to what happened when you took over this property, because it's been a gradual transformation. Every room is distinctly different from one to the next. You have the blending room, which is absolutely astounding. People wear silver jackets. And they do actually kind of dress like Lady Gaga in there. And they're very serious in there, right? And they blend their own wines.
Well, very fortunately, the transition of Raymond was the Raymond family involved. And they're still involved today, you know, in the production departments and other departments.
Oh, really?
Okay. Absolutely. So we've been very fortunate to have Raymond family involved. And we actually, David, really pride ourselves to have in every wineries either family members or people who've been there for a long time to help us and to work with us and to be with us, because we love continuity. You know, any great brand is never a pure fraction to the past. It's an evolution. It's never a revolution. It's really subtle and great. So what we wanted to do, you're referring to the blending room, we wanted people to actually be a winemaker. So you come to Raymond, and you can actually make your own wine. You are a winemaker for a day. We want you, when you arrive at Raymond as well, to discover the world of nature. That's my favorite part, is the theater of nature. 62 signs, carefully done, to explain you the ecosystem, how it works, the planet around us, the terroir, the plant, the insect, and what is organic and biodynamic farming, and what is the meaning of the earth in relationship to the moon, the sun, the stars, and how we all function as a galaxy. And this is fascinating because we're not alone, as we all know. We discovered all kinds of things and lives around us. And what has been very important is when you are very fortunate to work the land like we are, is to respect the land. Because we borrow our land from our children. Never forget that. The old Indian saying, take your shoes off, feel the skin of the earth with your feet, is so important.
I know right now my listeners are wanting me to ask this question. Do you ever get out there and drive the tractor?
The tractor, not as much. I'm not a very skilled driver, although I spend a lot of time in the vineyards.
Do you like to feel the mud between your toes? Do you ever go out there barefooted?
I've not only barefooted, naked.
Okay.
I've done that a ton of times. I actually, in my homeland in Burgundy, at Domaine de la Vougeray, every harvest, which I'm going to do as early as next week, as we're starting harvest, I'm going to eat the earth. I'm going to feel the earth. I'm going to caress the land. And I love vineyards. This is really probably what I love the most, because this is the beginning. This is really when nature grows into beautiful grapes, which then becomes the quintessential expression of what we've done in the vineyards.
How old were you the first time you wandered into a vineyard?
I was about 4 hours old.
4 hours old. Were you born in the vineyard?
I was literally, very fortunately, born in the vineyards on September 4th of 19... something.
Yeah, 19-something.
I just forgot.
In France, how many different winemaking operations in France?
I forgot. But
a lot, right?
But what I love to say is we combine over 17 centuries of tradition, if you add every winery's age. And we've been very proud with Bouchard René and Feast Winery in Beaune, to Jaffelin in Beaune, to Ropito in Meursault, to the Boisset Winery in Nuit Saint-Georges, and Domaine de la Vougeray, to respect history, to speak history, and to really talk about the past, because the past is helping us to be a better citizen today and
often anticipate
the future. So the past is everything we need to really source ourselves and resource ourselves into. So that's why Raymond, five generations of winemakers, how could we not respect this amazing winemaking family and this amazing vision in Napa Valley, which needs to continue today, tomorrow, and David, in 500 years, when you and I show up in our robe in the Red Room.
Shriveled. We will be shriveled.
We will be here somewhere, whether you could be on the chandelier. Look at that beautiful crystal. I could see you really swinging on that chandelier. Nobody sees
He's
you.
He's pointing
you
up, by
them.
The way. There's pleated velour material. It's like a tent.
Ceiling of a tent.
It's absolutely beautiful red decadence. And then there's a baccarat chandelier.
Crystal made in the beautiful town of Nancy in
France.
You won't
be buying that at your local department store.
That's right. That's right. That's where we went. I think we went to Home Depot for it.
Jean-Charles,
that's a great story.
What's the biggest mistake that winemakers are making now and that you're fixing?
I'm not sure we're fixing anything except Frenchy, who I fixed recently because he was over every single woman's leg.
Oh, we have to talk about that before we go. You have the only dog that has his own winery. Explain that.
Well, we've had so much fun, David. You know, to answer your previous question, what is fun in wine is to let wine be. There's nothing really to fix. A lot of winemakers want to justify what they do by attempting to show us that they're scientists. Bull, forgive my expression. I said that in French very differently. But
could you say it in French, please?
Sacré bleu.
Okay.
I'll use that polite word.
Sacré bleu.
What I mean is, you know, grapes come in. They want to become something, just like us as individuals, just like a child or an adolescent. Let them be. So the best service you could give to your vineyards, and certainly your grapes coming in the winery, is express themselves to be what they want to be. Less intervention is better. So this is what I believe in terms of winemaking, and you get a true wine. Why you and I are drinking now this new wine, and we love it, because we've been very respectful to what the grape wanted to be. And just like when you make jam at home, it's a miracle. The least thing you add to it, the most expression of the fruit you
You're not going to make strawberry jam out of peaches.
That's right. So very,
that was
very
profound, wasn't it?
Oof, that was deep. That was deep. Okay. I'm still feeling it.
I learned that from Leonardo da Vinci, yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
That's in one of his books.
So
anyway.
Frenchy Winery is the place you want to be with or without your dog. Last year, I realized as many people came with their dogs, they needed a place for their dogs. So out in the theater of nature, I have a dog myself named Frenchy, who I offered to my lovely wife. He's a four-legged French bulldog.
He's a French bulldog.
Of course. Mais bien sûr, mon ami.
I wasn't sure.
I mean, look at how small he is. He looks like a little Frenchie who wants to be something, but
he's
will
really
not
got,
have much of a chance.
He's got drooling down pat. He's got that down pat. Yeah.
God, and he purrs like a little Napoleon.
Okay.
So, you know, I offered him her Frenchie because I figured, you know, she needed me around. But the best thing about Frenchie, he follows her everywhere. He doesn't speak, and he purrs. So that's the best Frenchman you can find on your
side. You sure
you
don't have a cat?
No cats. No cats. And so the winery Frenchie is amazing because it's only for people who have dogs. They can bring their dogs, put them in Frenchie Winery, come and taste, experience Raymond, have a blast. We have a camera so they could see their dogs at all time, what he or she's doing. And they could feel comfortable, an amazing time in the Red Room.
And their dogs can hang out with Frenchie, right?
Absolutely. Frenchie's
right
there right now.
You have different little rooms for each of the dogs.
Indeed. And they can share a room if they're very good.
I can simply say this, and this is the truth. This is me speaking the truth. This is not because anybody sent me a free bottle of wine, because I've never gotten a free bottle from you.
Well, you will get one today.
But
we will charge you later. What's your credit card number?
But this is the absolute truth, is in talking to Patrick Egan about the facility.
Well, he's fabulous. You know, he's our marketing guru.
And hearing from my friend Tom Silberkleit, who is sitting here across the room, who we've had on many times on the show.
He's great. And with a name like Silver Cloud, wow.
It's Silberkleid. That's German for silver cloud. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Entschuldigung, mein Liebchen. Am I right about that? That's right, isn't it, Tom? Silberkleid is silver cloud in German. Clad, and same difference.
Well, yes.
Okay, clouds.
After five glasses of generations, what do we think?
But anyway, after all the stories that I heard, I literally, of all the things that I needed to do the most, this was it. I needed to come here and do this story. It's so exceeded my expectations, and this is one of those rare times where I can tell listeners that if you come here because you heard me talk about it, and I said it was wonderful, I assure you, when you come home, you'll write me and tell me that I didn't build it up enough. We've just topped out here at this point in time. So that's going to do it from the Raymond Vineyards and the Raymond Winery and the Red Room with Jean-Charles Botswana.
Yeah, that's right. The beauty is now I am multiple personalities, multiple passports.
Boisset.
This is fabulous.
Jean-Charles Boisset. I've never butchered anybody's name as much as I have yours, but you know why, right?
That's okay. French, a little steak tartare.
I failed French. That's the deal. Yeah. Okay. Hey, thank you very much.
Let's have a toast.
Here's to you, and here's to all the Grape Encounters listeners.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, to Grape Encounters. There's the best radio show there is! Woo-wee-wee!
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that epicstyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to epicstyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. epicstyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at grapeencountersradio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at grapeencounters.com. And Grape Encounters continues with David Wilson. You know, we've been talking to somebody with a whole lot of class, but right there in the high class category is our gadget guru, Matt Dubot from Epic Style. And Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you know what? I wish you could be with me up here in the Napa Valley because we've been having a great time. I mean, an absolutely terrific time. We have been in one of the really great tasting rooms in the Napa Valley. So I wanted to talk a little bit about things that make wine taste better. But I also wanted to share a couple of things with you. And the first is this, is that I went into a restaurant and I was really surprised they brought the wine. It was a white wine and they brought it out in a chill bag.
In a restaurant?
In a restaurant. Instead of putting it in an ice bucket, they actually brought it out in a chill bag. That really is great presentation. Are you having a lot of luck with that product?
We do sell a lot of it. That's definitely interesting. It's great that they're using those. I guess it depends on how the whole atmosphere of the restaurant is.
Well, you know how everything is casual these days and people are trying to be less stuffy. And I think it really came off good. And I'll tell you the honest truth. It really works better than an ice bucket.
I don't know about that.
But, Well, I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like it kept things colder. I think, you know, you got the difference between, you know, glass and metal or whatever, but you've got that material that's already really cold, so it kind of makes a difference. But the thing that I also learned is that with their good wines, if you take the wine home, they send it home in the chill bag.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that a great idea?
That's a great idea. Was the bag imprinted?
The bag was not imprinted. Can you do that?
We can do that.
That's a really great idea. But I'll tell you what, I think it's a great new product and works exceptionally well. So that was exciting. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is those little wrappers that you put your wine in when you travel, because I have been on the road now for the past several weeks, and I made the mistake of not taking any of those with me.
Oh, you didn't?
No. And so I have literally been biting my nails every time I throw my bag on a plane with the wine in it. Those are the absolute best idea in the world, because the last time I went on a major trip, I took those, and it was just like I felt so good about it. And now when the bag comes off the conveyor belt at the airport, it's like I'm crossing my fingers. So let's talk about a few things that do make wine taste better. And this has been an incredibly hot summer. I'm going to tell you that you are going to curse me when I tell you how many bottles of wine I have dumped down the drain.
Seriously?
Yeah. Sometimes I forget about it. And I will, you know, open up a bottle of wine and get halfway through the bottle. And then it's late and I go to bed. And then I don't preserve it. And then 2 days later, I open the bottle and it just sucks. And it's just so easy. So I'm really kind of confessing to you. I wish it was New Year's, because it would be my New Year's resolution to follow my own advice. But sometimes in haste, I forget. And it's so unnecessary, isn't it?
It definitely is. And you should know better.
I know. I know. You know, I get so busy and then I kind of forget about it. But the reality is it only takes seconds to do it.
You just need a preservation system. Keep one in a drawer and always use it.
Let me ask you a personal question. What do you do to keep your wine cool after you preserve it? Because I no longer have a wine cellar.
I put it in the fridge.
I do too. I wasn't going to say it unless you said it.
I know people say don't do that, but I do it.
You know, the other thing about that is, and as long as we're talking about making your wine taste better, is putting your wine in the fridge, your red wines in the fridge, just a little bit before you serve them, bring them down to just a skosh below room temperature. And honest to goodness, they taste way better.
You know, I agree. I definitely agree with you on that.
It definitely makes a difference. So you really got to do that. The other thing that I'm in love with.
In love with?
In love with. Okay. In terms of preserving the taste of wine, and it really isn't wine. We're talking about sparkling wines and champagnes here now.
Okay.
But I love some of the champagne stoppers that you guys offer. And it used to be that I would try to shove the cork back in, or I would take a regular wine cork and try to shove it in the bottle before I got one of those. But I have one that has the little wings on the side, and you just push the top down really gently and then fold the wings down.
I think that's the one I gave you last time from Spain. It's called the Pultec, and it's an opener and a stopper. And that thing works amazing.
Here's how amazing it is. I had a little like champagne brunch, probably used, two-thirds of a bottle, which means there's a lot of air in the bottle, right?
Right.
I used that stopper. I'm going to tell you that a full week later, when I opened that up, the amount of effervescence in the bottle was exactly the same. I mean, there was absolutely no loss in the pressure in that wine.
It's definitely, hands down, the best champagne stopper opener I've ever seen.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, Matt, is that there is a huge resurgence in interest in sparkling beverages. And it's like one of the fastest growing categories right now. People who don't like champagne, but sort of like the effervescence, but for whatever reason, they get a headache from champagne, or, you know, it's just, you know, not their thing. There are all of these great sparkling wines out there coming from California, other parts of the country. The Proseccos,
right,
that are coming from Italy are absolutely amazing. And the Cava coming from Spain, terrific. And you go into places now and you'll see more and more and more sparkling stuff. And if you think that it tastes like regular champagne just because it's sparkling, forget about it. You need to venture out and try it.
Oh, I definitely agree.
Are you drinking sparkling?
You know, a little bit. I don't want to say a lot. And what we had been doing is doing some kind of funky mixes.
Like what?
It was Secco with a splash of Saint Germain, and it was amazing.
Do you want to hear about my new mix? And this falls into the category of making wine taste better, because I had a Sauvignon Blanc that I wasn't crazy about. And I added something to it, and I created what has to be one of the most delicious beverages of all time.
What was that?
I added limoncello.
Really?
Limoncello and Sauvignon Blanc. I call it Limon Blanc. And talk about a delicious combination. People got to try this. And limoncello is very, very available, and it's really pretty inexpensive. Okay. Are you going to try my concoction?
You know what? I'm going to, because I just happened to see on my counter some limoncello.
Seriously?
I swear to God.
You're making that up.
No, I'm not. Actually, I had just seen it today.
Don't be afraid to venture out, folks. And don't be afraid to go to epicstyle.com, because if you're looking for wine and beverage style, it is there in epic proportions. That's my new slogan for you. We've got style in epic proportions.
I like it.
What do you think about that?
That's great.
That's going to do it today for Grape Encounters Radio. We're going to be back in the Napa Valley next week, and we will be back taunting the gadget guru and reminding him that he's missing a very good time here on Grape Encounters Radio.